bless your name for today. We glorify your name. We give you all the praise for the time of prayer, for the time of worship, for the announcements. And we also come before you even with a sermon time. Father, speak to our hearts. Sow seeds into our hearts. Let your spirit minister to our hearts. And may we be transformed. May we be transformed for your glory. Thank you for all that are gathered here from different nations, different backgrounds, but united in one blood, united in one Father, united in one Spirit. Even as we share in your word, may we be encouraged. May we be transformed. May your name be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn to someone, tell the person, you are welcome to the house of the Lord. Turn to someone, tell the person, you are welcome to the house of the Lord. And tell the person, don't sleep. Great, great, great. So today, our theme is light and love. Light and love. Light and love. One of the most important things within the existence of humans is the identity of humans. Your identity is very important. Who are you? What do people think you are? What do you think of yourself? The identity of a person informs how the person relates with others and how the person responds to others. Your identity informs majority of your decisions. And in today's sermon, we are going to be looking at two key identities of the believer. That is, we are called to be light and we are called to walk in love. In essence, I'll be reiterating what Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 5. He says, you are the light of the earth. So today our main focus is on light. And on that note, our key scripture is from 1 John 1 verse 7. 1 John 1 verse 7. Can we read together? 1, 2, 3, go. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all. Amen. So again, this is a series, a review of 1st, 2nd, and the 3rd epistle of John. And in that light, we are going to be looking at two identities of the believer being light and the believer walking in love. And just as I highlighted at first, the idea of today's sermon is centralized on us having an identity of light. What does it mean to be light? What does it mean to walk in light? What does it mean to express the light of the Father? Amen. A review of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. A quick review of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. I'm going to start with these three major points, and I'm going to take every single book, highlighting major aspects of the book. And before we begin, how many chapters does the book of 1st John have? 5. Good one there. I heard Rachel's voice. And what about 2nd epistle of John? Good job, Rachel. And the 3rd epistle of John? Rachel, don't lose me here. 1, exactly. So in total, we have 7 chapters ranging from the 1st epistle of John to the 3rd epistle. The 1st epistle has 5 chapters. And I'm going to keep saying this, and I'm going to continue saying this. In XICF, from the essence of the leadership to the preaching team, our focus is not to get you hooked onto our sermons, but our focus is for you to be provoked so that you can have a personal relationship with the Lord. That is why we take preaching very seriously in XICF, because we know that we have direct implications to your life decisions and your life actions.
You need to understand that the reason why we stand here is not just to encourage you, to edify you, but so to push you to a place where you yourself can read the Bible on your own. You yourself can fellowship with God on your own. The beauty of Christianity is in the relationship we have with the Father. And there is no relationship when the Bible is kept as a sacrament only for Christmas, Easter, and special days. The Bible must be an everyday read. The Bible must be touched before going to WeChat. The Bible must be touched before going to Facebook. The Bible must be touched before thinking about sports. If the Lord were to stand before you and ask you, how much time do you read your Bible? Do you think Jesus would be encouraged, or would he say, oh? So again, be reminded, even as we do these reviews, desire to study God's word. Desire to read God's word personally. Amen. So with reference to a review of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, I highlighted three main points. The writer of the epistles of John is not explicitly mentioned in the three biblical books, but at a certain point is referred to as the elder, meaning that he is an elder with reference to authority and possibly age. It is traditionally believed to have been written by Apostle John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And then I highlighted a second point. The three books were written between 85 AD to 95 AD. It mentions individuals. It is addressed to the Christian community and the churches in Asia Minor to warn against false teachers and urge steadfastness in the truth of the gospel whilst providing assurance of salvation and encouraging fellowship with God and with others. So if you look through the book, you will see that individual names are being mentioned. Sometimes the names mentioned are a bit metaphoric. You will find in the second epistle of John. Sometimes the names are directly mentioned. You would see in the third epistle of John. Gaius is praised. You will see Diotrephes is quickly condemned for his behavior. The idea that the writer intentionally mentions names speaks volumes that he had personal contact with the churches in Asia Minor and also has an understanding of the possibilities that are going on in those churches. And towards us, what do we make of these three episodes? The book reminds us to walk in light and love as we remain steadfast in our faith, to avoid being led astray by deceivers. I'm going to say that again. The book reminds us, these books, they remind us to walk in light and love as we remain steadfast in our faith, to avoid being led astray by deceivers. Jesus Christ said, in the last days, many false teachers will arise. In the last day, many people will be seeking sweet things for their ears. In their last days, people will not be lovers of truth. And as such, who are consumed by these lies, they will seek to lie to other people. So John writes to the churches in Asia Minor with three distinct letters. And in all, he encourages them, saying, remember your walk in light. Remember your walk in love. Remember to be steadfast in the truth. Remember to discern. So we are going to start a quick review with the first book, with the first John, book of First John, the book of First John. This has five chapters. And at this point, this is why I encourage you to take pictures. This is why I encourage you to take pictures. And yeah, you know, you can, if you don't want to take pictures, I encourage you to use a lot of these Bible commentaries, because some of them would have table text like this, and some of them will have written text. But I try to put it in a way where if you are reading by yourself, you will be able to have a sense of direction and correlation with the sermon. Amen. Amen. So in the light of the first letter of John, we see that it's broken into two aspects. walking with God of light and responding to the love of God. Walking with the God of light and responding to the love of God. And in chapter 1, from verse 5 to chapter 2, verse 11, we see a highlight on living in the light. Living as light. The Bible says that you are the light of the world. Can a lamp that is lit be put under a bushel? No. It is put in a high place that everybody will see. And so, you do same. Let your light so shine that others will see and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. The beauty of your identity as light is that it's a directional pattern telling people that God exists, that God has demands of us, and that God is calling us to live a righteous life. In chapters 2, verse 12 to 27, it says, staying in the light. It means you are not only called to be light, but you are called to stay in the light. And when you read, there is a highlight on sin. One of the things that will dim your light is a life of sin. One of the things that will let you not bring glory to God is a life of deception, a life of lies. And we are called to flee from them. From chapter 2, verse 27 to chapter 3, verse 23, it says, practicing the love of God. What does it mean to practice the love of God? If indeed you love the Lord, how you treat people around you will speak volumes of that. How do you treat your friends? How do you treat people in your house? And just in July, I began my 5th year as being a pastor in XICF. Already, I'm entering my fifth year. Wow, so fast. And one of the things I've realized as a pastor is that people lie. People lie a lot, especially from simple questions. How are you doing? I'm fine. But they are not fine. And it's like you have to force your way before you get to know that they are really not fine. One of the good things I really encourage people to do is show love to people. People are hurting. Show love. Check up on people. Don't think God called you here just to be an island. Show love. Pray for people. Encourage people. If you are sitting beside someone, tell the person, I love you. I know it's quite awkward if you are sitting beside a guy. If you're a guy sitting beside a guy, I know it's quite awkward. But yeah, don't make it awkward. Don't make it awkward. Don't make it awkward. If you are sitting beside your wife, if you are sitting beside your husband, look passionately at your wife and tell her, I love you so much. Amen. So we need to understand that we have to practice love. It's not just enough being acquainted with the God of love, being in a relationship with the God of love, but you have to be the expression of the love of God. And testing of spirits, chapter 3, verse 24 to chapter 4, verse 6, it says, test all spirits. Not every encounter is a godly encounter. Not everybody who calls the name of Jesus is actually operating with the spirit of Jesus. It says, test all spirits. Not every advice is a good advice. The new students who have arrived, a lot of people will be giving you advice. Not every advice is a good advice. And you need to test the advice. Not every action is of the Lord. Majority of the time, we are so ignorant of the schemes of the enemy that by the time we realize that there is an enemy, we are already consumed. I was talking to a lady in the past, and I was telling the lady, you are very beautiful. Not every guy that is approaching you has a good mindset. And I'm saying this to all the ladies who are here. Not every guy who approaches you has a good mindset for you. Be very careful. Oh, he loves me. He's buying me pizza. Oh. Just because of pizza, you've dropped your guard. How much is pizza? Eh? Big brother, how much is pizza? 26 kwai. 26 kwai. Oh, pizza. delivered the pizza to my room. Oh. Be very careful. Be very careful. You will meet people who would have some sort of business ideas. Discern. Amen. I have to stop myself so that I don't go down. Amen. Then it says, loving others. The proof of your Christian walk is how much you love others. The proof of your Christian walk is how much you love others. He says, how would they know we are your disciples? By your love one for another. And in chapter 5, it speaks about believing in Jesus Christ, the anchor of our salvation. Without Jesus, there is no salvation. And we see the results of all these themes, even through the various sections. The result in the first section reveals a holy life. We are called to live a holy life. We are called to be holy. We are called to flee from sin. We are called to avoid sexual immorality. We are called to glorify God in the secret place. It's surprising now, people make it comfortable to sin. Oh, I'm married. Oh, but you can still have a girlfriend on the side. It is wrong. Oh, we are dating. Oh, let's make love. Oh, there's nothing wrong once we love each other. It is wrong. If you are not married, sex should not be mentioned in your mouth. Sex is a holy act for married people. Say amen. And in the second aspect, discern. Discern. When you are talking to people, don't just talk to them on the fleshly level. Mind you, everybody is backed by a spirit. There are sometimes I've met people on the mission field. I remember we went to Sri Lanka and we went to a red light district. And as soon as we entered the brothel area, you could feel a different presence. You could feel that something was there. Be mindful those you open yourself to. Be mindful how you deal with people. Discern, especially those who do business. Discern your business partners. Discern before you sign. Discern. And how do you discern? Trust the Holy Spirit. Another result of three categories will be a life of love. And God has called us to a life of love. Following on is confidence. Confidence in your assurance of salvation. After reading the chapter 5 of 1 John, you would be confident in the life you have received in Jesus Christ. Emphasis, light, truth, love, and knowledge. Knowledge is key. Seek knowledge. Seek knowledge. Especially in the contemporary church, there seems to be an imbalance. Either someone is praying too much with little of the word. Either someone is full of the word, reading too much, but doesn't make time for prayer. But then, if you read the Bible, the idea posted of prayer and the word is like walking. You can't just be walking like this. No. You walk, you read, you pray. You read, you pray. You read, you pray. You read, you pray. They must go hand in hand. They must go hand in hand. Then the means to which you can highlight these, the key mentions obedience. We are called to obey. We are called to have high perception. We are called to sacrifice. Love is sacrifice. We are called to believe in the words of Jesus. The purpose of 1 John, for fellowship. Fellowship with God and fellowship with others. For joy in our hearts. So that we can boldly say no to sin, no to deception, and have thorough understanding of eternal life. So as you read 1 John, your understanding of eternal life will be deepened. Then the theme, living in fellowship with God, who is light and love. And the key verse, little children, let us love in word. Let us not love in word or talk, but in deed. And in truth. That is chapter 3, verse 18. And Christ in 1 John is seen as our advocate. He is the one that stands in for us. He is the Holy One. He is the Son of God. And He is the Savior of the world. So this is a short review of 1 John. We go to the review of 2 John. 2 John. It's only one chapter, so I didn't see the essence of breaking it into a table. But highlighting 3 points, it says, the book addressed specifically the elect lady and her children, but also to a local church and its members in a broader sense. So we see from the beginning, it talks about the elect lady and her children. And I believe it's a bit metaphorical, because when you read Revelations, there is again a story of the lady being pursued by the dragon. And if you understand from Ephesians chapter 5, the church is a bride. So when the second epistle of John speaks of an elect lady, there could possibly be indeed a specific lady, but I believe to the broader context, it's speaking to the whole church. And why to the whole church? What does the elder want us to know? The elder emphasizes on truth, love, obedience to God's commandments, and warns against false teachers who deny Christ's incarnation. He says, if you love the Lord, there must be a sign, and that sign is obedience. How many of you know about the 5 love languages? How many of you know? Yes, I know. I know my big brother Andy and sister Juliet know. What are the 5 love languages? Gifts? Mm-hmm. Act of service? Hey, Brother Joe, you know. Uh-huh. What? Quality time. Spend time. So, gifts. Give gifts to your loved ones. Act of service. Serve them. Quality time. Spend time. And what else? What? Words of affirmation. If your loved one is doing something good, tell them. Tell them. If the food is nice, tell them. If it's not nice, be quiet. And the fourth one, and the fifth one, physical touch. The men say amen. We bless God. If you don't understand that, I'll leave it there. God's love language is obedience. In the book of John, it says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. So write it down. God's love language is my obedience. If you do not obey God, you don't love Him. Irrespective of how much you cry during worship, some of you will cry during worship, you lie down. If you don't obey God's commandment, you do not love Him. Amen. Then it goes on to warn against false teachers. Be very mindful of false teachers. Now, sometimes I can't even go on social media. So many dangerous teachings on social media. Be very careful what you open your heart to. Read the Bible yourself. And we have elders in our midst. Elder Andy is here. Brother Stephen is around. Brother Sage. We have so many mature people in our midst. Talk to someone if you are being confused. We are encouraged to walk in love and truth, remaining steadfast in the faith to avoid being led astray by deceivers. The key reference in scripture I picked was from 2 John 1 verse 6. And this is love, that we walk according to His commandments. This is the commandment. Just as you have heard from the beginning, so you should walk in it. Walk in love to God's commandments. A review of the third book of John. The book is addressed to Gaius, a leader of the church, commending him for his faithfulness and hospitality to traveling missionaries. As believers, we are called to be hospitable. Ask the person sitting beside you, when was the last time you invited someone over for lunch? When was the last time you blessed someone with charity, with hospitality? The idea of being hospitable is being welcoming. And as Christians, we are encouraged to be welcoming. But indeed, you have to do it with wisdom. Nowadays, you would be saying, I'm hospitable, you're welcome, and I'm robber. Just be smart about it. Be wise about it. But nevertheless, we are called to be hospitable. I encourage people, you don't have to necessarily take people to your home. Sometimes a walk in the park, time with someone else, making someone feel welcome is very important. And here, John is saying, you welcome the brothers well. You welcome missionaries well. How do we treat people who are on the journey of sharing God's word? I encourage us to give. If you know a pastor who is directly involved in sharing God's word, and I'm not talking about me, I'm not talking about in China, you know a pastor who is a missionary somewhere, give. Support the person. Support the person. I have a friend in Afghanistan. And sometimes when we talk, I feel sad. But he remains joyful. Let us support missionaries. Support missionaries. Support them. If you do not know how to find any missionary, I encourage you to check this website, Open Doors. Open Doors International is a missionary website, and they will connect you to missionaries, and you can write them letters, you can take prayer requests, you can pray for them. And even if you don't want to go there, you can pray for missionaries in your closet. Pray. I went to India, and I went to Philippines, and recently with a church, and I met a very young couple. I think the husband was 21 and the wife was 20, and they said they've stopped everything to go into full-time mission work. And I said, wow. And I asked, how do you intend to sustain yourself? And the man smiled and responded, God will provide. But God doesn't provide in a vacuum. God provides through his church. And again, I'm not saying bring money to XICF. I'm saying have a heart for missionaries. Have a heart for people who are in difficult places spreading the gospel. If you can't give them anything, pray for them. When was the last time you prayed for missionaries? John commends Gaius for how he welcomes traveling missionaries. It further condemns Diotrephes, who rejects apostolic authority and refuses to welcome the brothers, creating a contrast to the praise showered on Gaius. We need to understand this. In the light of biblical authority, our authority is first to God, first to Jesus Christ, but also to the leaders of the church. So in essence, to your fellowship, in essence, to your coming, God has placed leaders and elders over us all. And we are called to submit to the authority. It's very important to understand that the idea of authority is not just for the good times. There will be times when the church elders may call you and require you to take certain decisions, and you would be in the right place to humble and submit to authority. It goes on to highlight that in this book, we are encouraged to walk in truth and faithfully submit to the authority of God and the church, and to be hospitable. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth. The beauty of these three books is that they are fast to read. You can read them very fast, and you can take notes. I encourage you, make a habit of reading. Make a habit of going deeper to understand beyond the sermon. And I believe you'll be blessed. Today, we are just doing a quick review.
But next week, we are going to delve deeply into the identities. We are going to start with the identity of light, and if time will permit, we'll go deeply into the identity of love. Let's stand to our feet. Ask someone sitting beside you, were you blessed? Amen. So just a quick reminder, next week Sunday is Shema Donshia. I said, next week Sunday is what? And she shouted, potluck. It's a welcome service with a potluck. Please don't forget the welcome service. It's welcome service and food. Don't just have the food in mind. I love you, Rachel. You are such a blessing. I want to say this, please and please again, let's take it upon ourselves to invite people to church. And let's take it upon ourselves to remind people, okay? Remind people, remind people, remind people, remind people. Those you have not seen in a long while, remind people. And furthermore, I want to say this. Pray. Pray for Xiamen. Pray for the church. Pray for me as your pastor. Pray. Pray. Amen. Let's begin to pray. I have two prayer requests, and after that, we'll open up. Elder Andy and his wife will be on standby. Today specifically, we want to pray for couples. We want to pray for couples, families, couples. So if you are here, and I'll go and stand at the gate. If I see you going out, I'll push you to come for prayer. I'm joking. I'm joking. I'm not going to force anybody. But we are encouraging couples. If your husband is here, your wife is here, or you are alone here, it doesn't matter. I want them to speak a blessing over couples. Amen. So after we close, they'll be standing in front. And husband and wife can come receive prayers. I believe there's a need for prayer for couples. I believe there's a need for prayer for couples. Difficult times are coming. Difficult times are coming, and we need the protection of God. The world is getting darker, and we shouldn't take the covering of God for granted. Let's pray. The first prayer, the Bible says, the devil, he roams like a roaring lion, seeking whom he will devour. But you want to say this, I am covered by the blood of the Lord, and I will not be devoured by the enemy. I will not be devoured by the devil. I will not be devoured by the enemy. You want to pray for yourself, and you want to pray for your family, that the Lord should cover you, that the Lord should protect you. Lift up your voice and begin to pray. Lift up your voice and begin to pray. Lift up your voice and begin to pray. Just as Jesus said to Peter, 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 the devil has sought to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. I pray for you in the mighty name of Jesus. You are marked with the blood of the Lamb. Just like in the celebration of the Passover, your home is marked with the blood. The enemy will not destroy your household. I pray for you in the mighty name of Jesus. Your children are covered. I pray for you in the mighty name of Jesus. The grace of God will sustain you. Even as you have come to a new city, the Lord will keep you. The Lord will protect you. The Lord will guide you. Pray, pray. Ask the Lord for strength. Ask the Lord for strength. The Lord will strengthen you. No matter what you are going through, the Lord will protect you. The Lord will guide you. The Lord will help you. It is not over. It is not over. God can turn things around. Your life will be a blessing. Your life will bless many. Your life will bless many. Pray. 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 In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.